Now, one major issue. The Vatican Directive is especially hard-hitting on the subject of extraordinary ministers of Holy Communion. In the clearest language possible, we are told how the current practice in many places generates confusion. What a gentle and charitable statement. Confusion. Widespread loss of faith. To be stressed is that the use of extraordinary ministers for distributing Holy Eucharist is to be truly, really extraordinary. Two norms are specified. As I'm reading from or paraphrasing the document, I say to myself, I wonder how many Catholics have even heard that such a document was issued by the Holy Father. The date of issuance was August the 15th, 1997. And today is the feast of St. John the Baptist, June the 24th, 1998. What are two norms set down by the Holy Father for having what are so casually called extraordinary ministers of Holy Communion? First, the so-called extraordinary ministers of Holy Communion may not receive the Eucharist apart from the other faithful, as though they are somehow concelebrants of the Mass. Again, and the Pope could not be clearer, the habitual use of extraordinary ministers at Mass must stop. This practice arbitrarily extends the idea of a great number of the faithful. Unquote. I was ordained in 1947. The abuses of which the Holy Father is speaking began in the 70s. Over the years, I've given Holy Communion alone, I'm not exaggerating, to over 1,000 people on a single occasion. No words can do justice to the massive laicization of the priesthood and the corresponding clericalization of the laity, with the rampant use of extraordinary ministers or distributing Holy Communion as produced in the Roman Catholic Church. One small parish, the Archdiocese of Chicago, has 40 extraordinary ministers. And, need I add, and mainly women. The present Holy Father says, I know this personally, the single greatest danger to the Catholic Church is feminism that has deeply penetrated both the Eastern and Western world. Now, back to our apostolic duty of the laity. I call it the apostolate of faith. In this conference, we are addressing ourselves to a subject which is as broad as the ocean and as high as the Rockies. No one knows what is going on in the Catholic Church. No one fully knows what is going on in the Catholic Church. But no matter how little we know, we have no illusions. It is a massive crisis of faith, touching on every mystery revealed by the incarnate God. Among these mysteries that are being challenged and undermined in our day, none is more basic than the mystery of the Catholic priesthood. In the half century of my own priesthood, I have found two passages from two doctors of the Church telling us what a priest is and should be. My first quotation is from St. John Chrysostom, from the late 4th century. He wrote his masterpiece called De Sacerdotio, or On the Priesthood. Over the years, I've recommended this book to hundreds of priests. Says John Chrysostom, the priestly office is discharged upon earth. It holds the rank of heavenly responsibility. For not man, nor angel, nor archangel, nor any other created power, but the Holy Spirit himself instituted this order of the priesthood and used those who yet abide in the flesh to make manifest the ministry of angels. Therefore, it behooves him who is consecrated to be as pure as one who stands in heaven itself among those angelic powers. Unquote, John Chrysostom. Over the years in teaching priests, interacting priests, I've never tired telling them, in the name of God, be holy. As we see, before this conference is over, the devil knows what he's doing. Any success the devil has in de-sanctifying the priesthood, it results in the laicization of the Catholic Church. The other doctor of the Church is St. Catherine of Siena. She was, as we know, an academically uneducated person, but she was divinely enlightened to understand what God had revealed. St. Catherine's writing in the latter half of the 14th century, she is quoting our Lord to what he expects of his priests. A slightly longer quotation. Says Jesus, they are my anointed ones, and I call them my Christ, because I have given them the office of administering me to you, and have placed them like fragrant flowers in the mystical body of the Holy Church. The angel himself has no such dignity, for I have given it to those men whom I have chosen for my priests, and whom I have appointed as earthly angels in this life. In all souls I demand purity and charity. They should love me and their neighbor. And far more do I demand purity in my ministers, the priests, to love me and love their fellow creatures, administering to them the body and blood of my only begotten Son with a fire of charity and a hunger for the salvation of souls, for the glory and honor of my name. Unquote, St. Catherine of Siena. I'm not exaggerating when I say that these two passages deserve to be memorized. They tell us what the apostolate for priests is all about. It is an apostolate which, first of all, recognizes. Let me repeat, that recognizes that very human beings are ordained as priests by Jesus Christ, ordained by Him to bring the Savior down to our earth and keep Him in our midst in the Holy Eucharist. To repeat, priests are very human beings, but ordained by the Savior to absolve us from our sins, no less truly than Christ Himself absolved the sinful woman in Palestine and promised the repentant criminal on Calvary they would enter paradise. The enemies of Christ know exactly what they are doing. They are seducing Christ's priests into sin. It is a planned, organized, highly financed enterprise. They are using the media to discredit the Catholic priesthood, as only the evil spirit could enlighten his agents to do. They are emptying seminaries and writing learned books in their demonic effort to erase the real distinction between the laity and the priesthood, and they are doing a demonically successful job. What then? What is at the heart of the apostolate for priests? It is nothing less than a re-education in the meaning of the priesthood, instituted by Jesus Christ, and put this meaning into our, shall I say, your daily lives. How well I know most Catholics in our country, I'm convinced, do not really understand what a priest is. However, he's not only growing in the knowledge, theological understanding of the priesthood. It is deepening our faith in the priesthood by, and I mean this verb, expending ourselves in helping priests to be truly priestly. It means strengthening our faith in the priesthood in spite of the inhuman pressure under which priests labor, and the inhuman pressure under which the laity labor when they see so many priests who are not living up to their sublime calling. Where do I begin? Where, dear Lord, do I begin? To emphasize the indispensable need for the laity to understand that a priest is a priest, no matter how unpriestly his life may either seem to be or really is. It was Cardinal Manning, writing in the late 19th century, who made this memorable statement. A blot upon a layman's coat is little seen. A spot upon an alb cannot be hid. The faith it takes, but I mean faith, to understand how the priesthood has been divinely instituted by Jesus Christ to provide us with the two most important sacraments we need here on earth after our baptism, namely the Holy Eucharist and the sacrament of confession or reconciliation. In other words, to believe in the priesthood in spite of, pardon me, I want to say because of, so many priests not being as priestly as they should be. How well I know, 30 years in working for the Holy See, how sadly, weepingly well I know, but a priest is a priest. And the tragedy is that so many who are among the lay faithful, bewildered, confused by what they see among priests, allow their faith to be weakened, and the realization of what the priesthood under God really means. I'll never forget the letter that St. Peter Canisius wrote to St. Ignatius. At the time, Peter Canisius was provincial of the Jesuit province of Germany. He wrote to Ignatius in Rome, writing from the city of Cologne. I don't know, said Canisius. I don't know of a single priest in the Archdiocese of Cologne, beginning with the Archbishop, who is not living with at least one concubine. You might say, is it any wonder that six whole nations were lost to the Catholic Church in the 16th century? But I trust I'm speaking to believing Catholics. It is our faith that must be clear and deep. Over the 2,000 years of Catholic history, this is the story of the Catholic Church. The sins of priests are never passed over. They are never forgotten. They are remembered years after the sins were committed. They are a temptation, and I want to say the deepest temptation in the Church today, to believing Catholics to question or doubt, even deny, what their faith tells them is true. Tells them what? That except for the priesthood, we will not have Jesus Christ on earth, and except for the priesthood, we will not have the infallible remission of our sins here on earth. That is why I recommend to all of you, not only, though of course first, but not only, to pray daily for us priests. I beg you to especially pray and sacrifice for those priests who you know are living truly priestly lives. There was such a thing as expiation for the sins of others. This means putting into practice what others should be doing but are not doing. Hear it. The very virtues that you see priests of God not practicing are the very virtues on which you should concentrate. We priests need, what other verb should I use? We desperately need your lives of sacrifice and expiation. While you're concentrating on the virtue of humility, you will expiate the sins of pride of so many bishops and priests. While you're, if need be, heroic practice of chastity, you will obtain for us priests the mercy of God to practice that consecrated chastity to which we have vowed ourselves. By your spending prayer, times in prayer, and especially before the Holy Eucharist, how priests need this, I know what I'm talking about. I'll need to see you people praying before the Blessed Sacrament. And in spite of what we hear and see in so many dioceses and parishes, praying on your knees, am I clear? Especially in churches where the kneelers have been removed. All of this is locked up in what I'm calling the lay apostle for priests. I have a closing prayer. Jesus, I pray to you for your faithful and fervent priests, for the unfaithful and tepid priests, for priests living at home or abroad in distant mission fields. I pray to you for tempted priests, for the lone and desolate, for young priests, for the aged, the sick and dying. I pray to you for the souls of your priests in purgatory. But above all, dear Jesus, I commend to you the priests nearest to me, the priests who baptized me, those who absolved me from my sins, the priests at whose mass I have assisted and who gave me your body and blood in Holy Communion, for your priests who taught and instructed me and helped me and encouraged me in my serving you, my Lord. All the priests to whom I'm indebted in any way, particularly, and then identify my name. Jesus, keep these priests close to your sacred heart and bless them abundantly in time and into the endless reaches of eternity. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.